Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's about...
Okay, you're good, white boy. I'll give you that. But you better bring it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G. Ah!
I can't, and I won't, and I just help here.
Kevin Costner's like, whoa, I'll protect you. She's like, I don't need it. And he's like, I will. I don't know. Are we falling in love? Not sure. And
Now, I understand if you've got other issues, like maybe you're not playing games, maybe you've had, I don't know, maybe you were abused in childhood, maybe your mother has cancer, you're going to chemo, maybe you're just a person who's extremely frightened or has an anxiety disorder, maybe you're on some medication for that, I don't know, there could be another issue that I'm not aware of.
And now,
DJing is not a profession, it's a hobby, unless you're Rick Dees or someone awesome.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday morning, the 23rd. What was the guy's name that you were just playing?
That was Dimitri.
Dimitri.
Allie, you ever hear that tape?
I don't think I have.
So unbelievable.
He
let
gone
the romance
on a,
begin.
That's him. He had gone on a first date, if I remember, and she... What was the deal, Kevin? She was just, he didn't think she enjoyed it or she didn't want to see him again or something like that. So he just called her voicemail and just unloaded on all the problems she had if she couldn't recognize how great he was.
Hmm. It was, even in this day and age, it was unbelievable to hear a guy sound like that. To sound like, look, maybe you have psychological problems.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to date me. Mm. Now, I understand that certain dudes think that way. He said it on our answering machine.
Yeah.
We need to play that again. That was
There's a lot of Dimitris nowadays, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, because he, remember, and we, let's do that. Let's find a,
yes.
a place and let's do that. But, because Allie, you got to hear this. Although maybe you've heard versions of this your whole life. Maybe it's not as exciting for you as it is for us.
Let the romance begin.
Right. But he also, recall, Kevin was... I'm a catch.
Yes.
And I'm single. And he started listing all of the great things about him that he just couldn't understand why anybody wouldn't recognize.
Yeah. So. It was insane.
Well, at least he left a voicemail and didn't shoot up a school. So we have that.
So we do have
us.
That. That is a positive.
That is happy.
Do they come from the same place? That's what you're suggesting? I mean, that was certainly the case down in Texas last week.
Yeah. It's where most of it comes from. Mm-hmm. An entitlement that you're somehow entitled to a woman's affections just because you have them for her. It's a very weird place that we're at right now in the country.
Yeah, I think you're right. What is it they call the
toxic masculinity. Yeah, but here's the thing. When I bring it up, mm-hmm. I'm a feminazi and
okay.
I hate men. But if we were to have an actual conversation as a country about this, I think we could be raising different boys.
But what about...
Let the romance begin.
Oh, totally different.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Just a second.
Hey, a couple of weeks ago, maybe longer, I said, I know that there are certain kinds of stories that I am in love with and I cannot resist bringing to you.
Uh-oh.
And one of them involves things inside the human body. You know, I just have a weak spot for those stories, and I'm not trying to panic anybody, and I'm not trying to gross anybody out, but when I see a story like this, I'm so fascinated with it that I just have to do it. So is it too much?
Well, I mean, we don't know what it is yet.
Well, I
feel
mean,
like with this setup, he knows.
But
it's
I'm
too
guessing
much.
It's too much, right? By the question,
you know the appeal that these stories
yes.
have for me. And Kevin, you may have actually, Allie, you as well, big hockey fans. You may have actually heard this because this involves a minor league hockey player. He plays for the Red Hawks, I think. Yes, the Red Hawks is the minor league team for the Columbus Blue Jackets, and his name is Carson Meyer. Name sound familiar at all?
No. Mm-hmm.
His last season with the Redhawks was totally derailed because of illness. He had no appetite. He was losing weight. He was falling asleep during drills. And he went to every doctor in the world. And Kevin, how many times have you said doctors almost never know what's wrong with you when you walk in the door?
It's one of three things. And if it's not that, it's one of a billion and they have no idea.
Right.
Exactly. Once they do the first couple of tests, like they said, well, maybe it's mono, and it wasn't mono. And then they said, well, maybe
we're out.
Yeah. So, and then either you keep going for more tests, they never figure it out, or you just go home. So anyway, he couldn't figure out what was wrong, but clearly he felt weak. And like I said, losing weight, falling asleep, couldn't play. And then I'm going to pick up his own words for the thrilling conclusion of what was wrong with him. Any guesses, by the way? You probably see it coming.
I love the tapeworms. You love that.
I do love the
But they don't make you fall asleep, I don't think.
So the tapeworm stuck its head out of the guy's ass and said, "Where's my damn lemon cookie?"
So here's what Carson says. I was going to the bathroom.
Oh no.
Just like normal.
Nope.
And it came out.
No.
It was a 25-inch tapeworm, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
Now, when I hear tapeworm stories, in my mind, I picture, like a worm, like a little insect that's a couple of inches, 3 inches, 4 inches, maybe.
Maybe smaller. Long.
Yeah, a 25-inch tapeworm, which makes me wonder, by the way, at any point with his illness, did they not x-ray him? I mean, it seems like that tapeworm would have shown up in an x-ray, right, or no?
Yeah, I don't know.
But that tapeworm was eating good, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that tapeworm explains where all the weight went.
Yeah.
It was a 25-inch tapeworm, the head, the neck, and all the segments, about 50 of them. If that's
Holy
not too descriptive
crap.
For you to imagine. It was orange, by the way.
I hate this, too.
Next sentence surprised me because this is not what I would have thought to do. He FaceTimed his mom.
What?
And was like,
"Look at this, mom."
Yes.
Seen it.
FaceTimed his mom and said, "What the hell is this thing?" I was freaking out. I was absolutely freaking out. So does that mean that within moments after pooping out a tapeworm, he got on his phone, FaceTimed his mom, and then turned that phone toward the toilet so he could terrify his mother with it?
I mean, if he was asking her what it was.
Yeah.
Yes.
Had to be. Hopefully she's a nurse.
What could it be?
Yeah, it doesn't say that. I mean, that would make a difference.
She's a nurse.
Let's assume she's a nurse because
she's
that
really
makes.
Really good nurse.
That makes
you guys.
The story stomachable.
Would you, in a million years, ever turn to your mom?
No!
Never, right?
And his mom is a nurse.
And my mom is a nurse.
So's mine. And I know.
I wouldn't tell a soul.
No. I'd flush that thing and never speak of it again. Or I'd be like, "Do you have more work to do? Get back in there."
Well, his mom, Holly, said she'd never been so horrified or so relieved. She said, "I was trying to be calm. He showed me everything. And I remember saying, you have to get that to the trainer and figure out what it is so they can get you fixed."
To the trainer.
I know, right? Well, I mean, I guess she just figured he's got medical support or something like this. And I did say at that moment, this is why everything's been the way it's been, Carson. This was like, it's scary, but it was a relief, you know, because he knew at that moment, oh, I mean, that explains everything.
Yeah.
You said
25 inches instead of 2.5.
I did. That's over 2 feet, kids.
Yeah.
That is over 2 feet. That's a big tapeworm.
Why do you love tapeworms so much?
I don't
Let's
know.
Let's discuss that. Every one of these stories that comes across, Bean would have gone on an hour ago if he could have to talk about this.
For sure.
I don't know what it is. I guess it just seems so unlikely to me that there would be a thing. A living creature, just like when we talk about spiders that burrow into your brain and stuff. I mean, there's something living inside your body that's not yours.
Right.
That's just so weird to me. You know what I mean?
Same.
But
if I come across a story where there's a tapeworm, I'm not reading it.
Yeah, you don't even click on it,
no,
right?
Because
you see the headline, yeah. The specific parasite, in case you're wondering, I will not try to pronounce, but it comes from eating undercooked fish. And he says that, as you can imagine, that he has lost his appetite for fish for the most part, but cooks all of his food much more thoroughly than previously. His Redhawks teammates have named his tapeworm Teddy. So when they talk about it, he is Teddy the Tapeworm.
That's nice.
That's a lovely name.
Yeah. So congratulations to Carson Meyer. I hope you're feeling much better and get back on the ice soon.
Let the romance begin.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
our Father who art in heaven. Seriously? What the actual f***?
Weirdest celebrity selfies that you took. I found myself in a picture with Kenny G. And in a million years, I would have never thought that I would take a picture with Kenny G.
Luck out.
Was that lucky?
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't feel like it, but all right.
Bean get a picture with Kenny G.
Bean makes his guess.
He sure does.
Yes, he does. We got this one tweeted to us a lot. The parents that are suing the kid to move out.
Oh,
unbelievable.
Man.
Unbelievable. They're going to court. And the judge ordered him out, and he's appealing. It's unbelievable.
It's nuts.
Well, but it's over. It's over now, Kevin.
I mean, I knew that they had.
Yeah, they went to court yesterday. So
that
we'll,
the judge ruled that he had to be kicked out. But
right.
He said he was going to appeal.
Yes.
Did he not look exactly like you thought he'd look?
No. Yes, very much so.
Were you surprised, as I was, Allie, and I know we'll talk about it in a little bit, that he has a son?
Yes.
So that guy at 30, living with his mom and dad and being a complete pain in the ass,
yes,
somehow had sex once.
Yes, correct.
Shocking.
Also on the program today, there is a huge amount of sperm in space.
I don't, what?
You heard me.
But just
do you want
floating
me to repeat
around?
It? Do you want me to repeat it?
In the atmosphere? Explain gravity to me.
Oh, Kevin can explain gravity
sure
to you.
I got that for you. We've also got your tickets for Pixar Fest at Disneyland.
Yeah. Nice.
And we've got your tickets for 9-inch Nails at the Hollywood Palladium.
The entire show?
How about that?
I see what you did there, Allie. I see what you did there.
I took had to point minute for Kevin.
Yeah,
and
I got
mouth
it
the word.
Yeah. I got it. That's amazing, by the way. 9-inch Nails
right
at the Palladium. I love it.
So that's coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Hey, Allie McKay.
Hey, Bean.
What is happening?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Not sure if you were aware, but the opener for Taylor Swift had to cancel.
If you're asking if I was aware, yes, I was there. So
okay,
I certainly
okay
knew that, yes.
All right.
You were there when?
Last night.
It was last night.
Yeah, Camila Cabello wound up in the hospital after her performance at the Billboard Music Awards on Sunday.
Tapeworm?
She was, well, dehydrated and a low-grade fever. We don't know if it was
sounds
a tapeworm.
Sounds like a tapeworm to
sounds
me
a little bit like it. So she had to cancel her opening set at CenturyLink Field last night in Seattle. How was the show, Bean?
Darlene had a problem. She was fat. Darlene had gone online and ordered tapeworm larva from Venezuela.
Remember when we did 1,000 yes ways to die with the tapeworm lady?
Yeah, that was amazing.
We
went online and ordered it.
Yeah, she did. I'm sure a lot of people have thought it sounds perfect.
Yeah.
Keep it in there for 2-3 weeks or whatever you need.
Look, when I was sick, I did get a text from Allie saying, make sure that you save, you know, your saliva or something so that I can get sick as well because I'd like to lose 10 pounds.
I did ask him to swab his mouth with a cotton ball or a Q-tip and put it in a Petri dish.
Yeah.
His response was, you don't want what I got. I'm like, you're not the boss of me.
Although Kevin walked in after his days away and had lost 9 pounds, if you'll recall.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what Allie was.
Again, luck out.
She swallowed it, and soon enough, her little diet friend had set up shop in her small intestine and began feeding on anything Darlene ate. It was a good deal. The fatter the tapeworm grew, the skinnier Darlene became.
I'm already down 4 dress sizes.
Darlene finally fit into a size 4 dress. Too bad she wore it at her funeral.
Yeah!
Boom!
No! Darlene!
That's the best story ever. Her little diet friend is such a better name than tapeworm. Her little diet friend.
Wow, I didn't see that coming. Oh, Darlene.
To answer your
too
question.
Too bad she wore it at her funeral.
Oh, my God.
I love that. To answer your question, Allie.
Mm-hmm.
I have a complicated relationship with Taylor Swift and her live show.
Do you?
Okay.
I do. I won't bore anybody with this,
all
but
right,
since you asked, I'll give a short answer. I
love
Taylor. She's one of my favorite singer-songwriters, and that's when I became a huge fan of her music, when she started out and she was a singer-songwriter and made records that sounded like singer-songwriter records do. And then the further she went into pop, and now this, you know, the stadium shows are a whole nother thing. We've all seen them, and it's fireworks, and it's choreography, and it's dancing, and it's props, and it's, you know, it's just a whole, everything is a Disney movie now.
It takes away from what you loved about her, the singer-songwriter aspect.
Yeah, I love her just playing a guitar, playing a banjo, playing the piano, and she does some of that in the show, but it's just so, I don't know, it's like a Broadway show now. You know what I mean? Rather than an actual connection. And you just get the impression that everything that is said in between songs is just part of the script for that. You know, that's the tour. That's what she's... Every city is her favorite city ever. You know what I mean? So I enjoyed it because I like a lot of her songs. But I do miss the days of my old Taylor when I saw her, you know, two or three tours ago.
And I just want to clarify, that's the short answer?
Oh, I could go on for a long time about Taylor.
Open up a blog.
And but for me to be in a place with 56,000 people was rare and
not
unusual.
Ideal.
Yeah. I had some troubles with that, but that's how much I love Taylor as I put myself through, and I'm glad I went, and I had a good time. I took Donna as well, and she had a great time. So it was a fun night out for us kids, and no tapeworms.
That's the takeaway.
Yeah.
No tapeworms were had at the Taylor Swift show. All right. Well, real quickly, apparently Taylor Swift's cats are in Deadpool 2.
They are.
What?
Yes.
Yeah. She showed off a picture of her, quote, two fur babies, Olivia Benson and Meredith Grey. They're on a t-shirt.
She's demanding that I hate her. She's forcing my hand.
You have to hate me too and all the other pet owners that refer to our pets as our fur babies. Guy comes with the territory.
Apparently, Wade in the movie was wearing a shirt with the kitty cat's faces on it. And Taylor said, quote, so proud of my fuzzy daughters.
Oh, man.
Well, if you think I don't have an Olivia and Meredith t-shirt of my own, you don't know me.
Man.
Some birthdays for you.
I'm not sure I can go on.
Actor and host of The Price is Right, Drew Carey. Singer Jewel, actress Melissa McBride, Carol on The Walking Dead. Not to be confused with the Channel 7 reporter, Melissa McBride.
Sure.
And H. John Benjamin. You might know him as the voice of Archer. And that's what's happening.
It's Kevin and Bean.
K-U-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
All right, listen, I understand that most people don't know who Brandi Chastain is, but she's a women's soccer player. She won the Olympics twice. She won the World Cup on a penalty kick at the end and took off her jersey, and she had her sports bra on. Everybody went crazy as if they didn't know sports bras existed.
Yeah, if you lead with that, I think that's one of the most iconic moments in sports.
Absolutely. Yeah, great photograph, great moment. Did as much for women's soccer in this country as anything that has ever happened. And by the way, as we've mentioned on the show many times, the U.S. women's soccer team is the best in the world.
Yeah.
It has been for a long, long time. And it's partly because of players like Brandi, who is retired now and received a real honor yesterday.
Was it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, she was.
In theory,
she was inducted into the Bay Area Hall of Fame along with there was a basketball player, a baseball player, a whole bunch of different athletes. But they all got their likeness on their plaque. So that was where it was different for Brandi.
Here's where it becomes a story, and I don't know if you followed this one as well. Cristiano Ronaldo had that statue made of him, and everybody was like, that doesn't look anything like him.
Yeah, it was so janky.
That one looks great compared to Brandi Chastain's. We just put it up on the Twitter and Instagram and everywhere. Mine is at the Kevin Ryder, and you look at it, and it's a 65-year-old fat man.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it is. It's not even close. I can't even accept that was supposed to be her.
Yeah. It's
I agree. When I the first story I saw on it, the headline was, and I took it seriously, whose face is on Brandi Chastain's plaque? Because I'm with you, Kevin, and the writer, that this isn't a poor representation of what she looks
right,
like.
Right, it's not a mistake.
This is, they put the wrong picture on the plaque, like it was meant for somebody else.
But then they said, you know what, let's just go with it.
Go with it.
Yeah.
And the pictures of her that were everywhere yesterday of her just smiling appreciatively and just being honored, I just thought, how is she pulling that off? Like, how is she not freaking out right now?
She's so sweet about it.
Tantrum?
Yeah, how is she not? How, like, don't they go to all different artists and say, hey, let's pick one and
right.
everybody give us a selection of what you can do?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't they do any of that?
I would imagine they would have to. And once they commission an artist, I can't imagine that they didn't, that nobody saw it before that morning. You know what I mean? Because it was installed.
Maybe all of this artist's fat white guys are really good. So they're like, he's going to nail this.
He does good work on the fat white guy.
He does the old fat white guys really well. Just not knowing that Brandi Chastain would also be one. I saw her interviewed on the news, and she couldn't have been more gracious.
That's her, yes.
Oh, absolutely.
And
that's
she said, listen, I've heard everything from Mickey Rooney to Gary Busey, so now I know who will play me in a Lifetime movie. And I laughed so hard at that. Like, how great to turn it around like that.
Well, we're going to hear from Brandi in a second, because she was on with her friend Jimmy Kimmel last night, too. But here's the thing I'd love to know is, when did the Bay Area Hall of Fame take receipt of the plaque?
Agreed.
Because if it was anything beyond an hour before the ceremony, they should have canceled the ceremony.
I don't even care. Even at that point, even if it's 5 minutes before, you go, so this
we
is the wrong plaque.
Yeah.
Got the wrong plaque.
Look, they're still working on it, but congratulations. And but it's yeah, going without
something.
It.
Well, in case you're wondering how she was able to be so cool and so calm and just with a big old smile on her face, she did not see the plaque when she walked up to have her photograph taken with it. This is how she explained it on Mr. Kimmel's show last night.
They had all the plaques up on a podium, and the athletes were in the room with media and family and friends. And you know, we were asked to stand next to them and take photos. And to be honest with you, I didn't really look at it as I came up. I was looking at all the other ones, and I stood next to it, happily taking pictures. And I looked down, and I thought, something struck me as odd. Not a big deal, but I didn't want to make a scene. And one of the gentlemen I had been working with came over, and I said, hey, can you look at the nose? Is that I don't have a bridge on the nose on my plaque.
Or
look at all the other ones.
Or like, the hair or that. I don't even imagine you wearing that collar, to be honest. So,
you know, Jimmy makes a good point. There is nothing about that.
Right.
It looks like anything to do with Brandi Chastain. So Jimmy asked, you know, with like Ali mentioned, the people are throwing all sorts of celebrities. I'm a Babe Ruth guy to me, by the way.
That's what it looks like.
Babe Ruth, yeah.
It does.
So Jimmy asked Brandi that same question.
Well, who do you think it looks like? Is there anyone that pops to mind when you see it?
Well, too many, unfortunately, not my name, but Mickey Rooney, he was so sweet.
Mickey Rooney, Now, is Mickey Rooney good at soccer at all? Did Mickey Rooney win any World Cups or anything like that?
I'm pretty sure he didn't. And the final clip is the question that we were asking yesterday when we saw this story is, what now? They don't leave it like that. They don't just say,
no,
this is how...
They have to redo it.
They have to redo it. So Jimmy asked if that was the plan.
I've been in discussions with them, and they're gracious. They you know, they obviously didn't want this to happen. They didn't want to have any controversy.
Now, Kevin, you were saying off the air, this is the best thing that ever could have happened to Brandi Chastain.
Oh, yeah, no question, because if Brandi Chastain gets this award, none of us really hear about it unless you're following U.S. women's soccer, which I do because I have daughters. So I know her well, and I would have seen this story, but... because it looks like Mickey Rooney or Babe Ruth and nothing like her, it became this international story. Now everybody knows about it. It's actually working in her favor.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And everybody feels sort of bad for her because she was in that situation.
And she comes off, as we've said, so delightful, too, with the way she handles it. All right, so she says, we're talking about it.
And for me, you know, the most important thing is not so much the plaque, is the great work that they do. But they did say that they would like to give it another chance.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it will be great.
Will you get approval over it before they release the next one?
They did say that would be possible.
All right, here's my last question from Jimmy and my favorite question that he asked, because this would be so great if it happens.
And what, Brandi, what are they going to do with the old one? Will you get to keep that?
Oh, good question.
Yeah. You should have that.
That would be awesome.
That's a real memento, you know?
I want to hang that in my garage. Yeah.
That would be awesome. Congratulations, Brandi Chastain, one of the greats of all time.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
The delight that I had in the tapeworm story earlier today is the delight that Kevin has over this story. This is right in his area.
And then in a few minutes, tickets to Nine Inch Nails.
Yes.
Here's the headline. There's a lot of sperm on the International Space Station right now.
Oh, kids. It's not for you.
No.
Now, imagine astronauts. Imagine, like, what's the best you could do? Walk on the moon so far?
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe circle the moon? Where does taking sperm into space, where does that... Is that the scientist, the NASA guy you don't like? The astronaut that is, like, low on the totem pole?
Well, I think for decades we've been conducting experiments in space. And I think this is a nod, I think. I'm guessing. I don't know anything about science. My guess is they're trying to figure out if humans can mate in space and it'll work. Everything will work based on how we know biology here on Earth. What's it going to be like up there?
They're calling it the Micro 11 mission. Made its way to space aboard SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket resupply capsule, and it amounts to a bunch of containers of frozen human and bull sperm.
Hmm. Are we trying to make a human and a bull mate?
I don't. It doesn't say that.
That sounds freaky.
I don't think so.
But if it goes wrong, they're in space, so they can just jettison it.
We'll all be smart. That's smart.
We'll all be fine.
That's a safe way to do it.
They're going to study it to see how weightlessness affects its ability to move and prepare to fuse with an egg. So, yes, can we reproduce in zero gravity? This is microgravity in this particular case.
Astronauts have been asked for decades if anyone has ever had sex in space. There have been, you know, lots of people in space for a long time on those capsules all by themselves. And no one has admitted to it yet. What do you guys think?
Of course.
Of course.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean... Who's going to know?
Who's going to know?
Right? It does say in the article, Bean, and I was very surprised that the article, this is a news article, I'm very surprised that it said this, but it's perhaps worth noting that the current ISS crew of six men may have alternative methods for requiring a whole bunch of sperm that would have been cheaper than hitching a ride on a multi-million dollar space launch.
So make their own.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
All right.
Trevor Noah covered this story on The Daily Show.
Mm-hmm.
And like he does, he's a genius.
Blasting off just got a whole new meaning.
Listen to this. NASA scientists are researching the behavior of sperm in space. They sent samples aboard the Falcon 9 rocket last week. Scientists want to know whether humans would be able to reproduce in microgravity.
Wow, NASA is experimenting with space sperm. That's one small step for man, one giant of mankind.
I mean, come on.
Right?
Son, what are you doing up there?
Experiment.
Research.
On sperm.
Research.
Research.
Yeah. I think we finally got to the bottom of what those ink blotches were in Arrival.
Oh.
Yeah, those aliens were literally in peace. That's all they were doing. They were communicating with us. And now NASA says that this is the first sperm in space, right? And I bet every dude astronaut is like, yeah. Yeah, first. Yeah, come on, man. Men have been in space for almost 60 years now. There's no ways in hell this is the first space sperm. You put a dude in a hotel room, within 5 minutes, he's twice. You know these guys were in the space station. As soon as they got there, they're just like, oh. Honestly, I think NASA needs to slow its roll. Because I don't know if you realize this. Just consider how all of this looks if you're an alien. First, humans send up telescopes to creepily watch them from afar, right? And then we sent up mixtapes. And then we sent up nudes. And now we're sending sperm. Like, at this point, it just feels like we're sexually harassing aliens. That's what it feels like. I wouldn't be surprised if our first contact was the aliens coming down and just saying, like, hey, take a hint. We're not interested. Hashtag me too. Hashtag Glorbzard.
I love Trevor.
I do too.
How, Kevin?
Oops, no. Sorry.
Yeah, there you
sorry.
Go. My
Thank bad. You.
How about a pair of tickets to see Nine Inch Nails at the Hollywood Palladium, you guys? We are looking for Nine Inch Nails fans. You know you love their music. The shows aren't till December, but you can win them right now if you call us and play a game. 1-800-520-1067. That's next on K-Rock.
Now this.
Now this.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
So Nine Inch Nails is playing at the Hollywood Palladium in December, and we have a pair of tickets for you right now on the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's too good to be true.
Right?
You can't just wake up, turn on the radio, and boom, call in and win Nine Inch Nails tickets.
Well, I mean, what we're saying is just the opposite. They can call in and boom, win Nine Inch Nails tickets.
All right. I know we have a bunch of Nine Inch Nails fans on the line. Let's talk about what the game's going to be.
All right. You want the long intro or the short one?
I think we got time. Let's hear the whole thing.
Just a second.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to be playing the first second of a Nine Inch Nails song. All songs you know and love, you've heard over the years here on K-Rock. All you have to do is identify it by its title. And if you're right, you go into the drawing. Someone on the phone will win tickets.
I haven't heard the clips yet, but it does occur to me that Nine Inch Nails, this could be a difficult contest for them for the, just the first second.
You think they might sound very similar?
It's possible, yeah. Mm,
okay. All right. Well, let's find out. Let's meet our first contestant, John.
All right. It's Joy in Orange. Hi, Joy.
Hi.
All right. You understand? We're going to play just a second.
Okay.
We'll do it for you twice, and then you have to give us a guess. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. That was once. Here's the second time.
Had like a hole.
It is.
Unbelievable.
Nice.
Woo!
Look at that.
Can I tell you that?
Just a second!
Like everyone else in the world, congratulations, Joy. Please hang on. Like everyone else in the world, I love that song. In a million years, did not know that was the first second of that song.
Let's go to Robert in El Segundo. Hi.
Hi, guys.
Welcome. You ready?
Yes.
Here's your song. One more time.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Head Like a Hole.
That's the only song you knew it wasn't.
I mean, that was the last. Okay. That was March of the Pigs. Thank you for calling.
All right. We're 1-1.
Oh, please.
Okay. Hey, here's a hint.
The computer just went dark, so I just had to. Yes, no. Bean.
Don't say head like a hole.
Right, because
everyone else already used that one.
We're not going to use it again. We're giving you that hint.
Okay.
All right, Martin in Montrose. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing well. You ready?
Yep.
Here we go. One more time.
Don't hurt.
I'm sorry, that's The Hand That Feeds. I love that song so much.
I do too. You warned us this might be
very difficult with Nine Inch Nails. All right, let's go to Courtney in Torrance. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, are you ready for your just a second?
Yeah, this is scary, but let's go.
All right, here we go.
Oh.
You even get a word of that.
I'm sorry, what?
Is that Down In It?
No. That's hurt. That's hurt. All right, so ooh, far it's just Joy, right?
This is
right?
Not easy. All right, let's go to Will in Los Angeles. Hi, Will.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, good luck.
All right, can't say all those words.
He said the S word and the F word.
Yeah. I'm sorry we're not going to have be able to continue with you. That was only we were looking for there, but thank you for calling.
You can recognize it from that, but boy, is it difficult with a second. All right.
All right, couple more.
Let's go to Art in La Puente. Hi, Art.
Hey, good morning.
Turns out this is the hardest game in the world. We didn't even realize it.
All right, Art, some tips for you here. Don't say head like a hole. Don't say the F word. Don't say the S word, but identify this Nine Inch Nails song by its first second.
One more time. I mean, that may be the easiest one, not to jinx you.
It's closer.
Closer.
Yeah!
Nicely done. All right, hold on.
All right, one more contestant, then we do the drawing. We're giving away tickets to see Nine Inch Nails at the Palladium in December.
Sarah in Moore Park, hi.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Are you ready for your second?
Absolutely.
Here you go. One more time.
Is it Gave Up?
No.
Oh. Sorry, it's Wish.
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 Thank you for playing. Hey,
got two people.
My credit, I give a lot of credit to all the contestants. That was a tough game today. And two of you came through to the final round. It's Art and Joy. Only one will be attending Nine Inch Nails at the Palladium. It's Adam McKay. Who's our winner?
The winner is Joy.
Joy. Yay! Congrats, Joy. Enjoy the show. You got the tickets.
Yes. Thank you so much.
And thanks for playing the game.
Just a second.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Got a lot of tweets from people, a lot of people demanding that we do this story. At what age did you move out of the house, Bean?
That's a great question. I think I was around 19, maybe.
Allie?
College, so 17.
Same.
Yeah.
This guy's 30. This guy's 30 and he won't move out.
Before you mock, the economy goes up, the economy goes down. I know it's great right now, but I guarantee as expensive as housing is in Southern California, we have listeners with jobs who would love to move out of their parents' house.
Right.
And they're 20, 25, maybe even 30.
I agree.
But they can't do it.
But the thing is that their parents aren't begging them and sending them letters and taking them to court to get them to move out. I assume most people who are 30 and living at home have to and are being good about it and try to help out where they can. This guy's just a dick.
I agree.
His parents hate him.
I agree.
So they had to take him to court.
30-year-old Michael Rotundo is being evicted from his mom and dad's house, but he won't leave, so he's being taken to court by mom and dad.
I mean, that's just, that's a level of crazy you don't see often.
It's insane.
Anytime your parents are suing you, things have gone off the rails.
Something went wrong.
Yeah.
He claims legally he wasn't given enough notice to leave, but he's facing an uphill battle in the court of public opinion.
Oh,
this is where they start interviewing people on the street that have no idea about this story and asking them questions.
He needs to get out.
Give his mother and father space, actually, because it's that time. He's 30. And then you're not paying rent or you're not, like, being independent. You got to be independent.
Court filings allege Rotundo doesn't contribute to the family's expenses and doesn't help out with chores around the house.
That doesn't make no sense if you're going to stay in your mother's house 30 years old and don't help do nothing. Grow up.
His parents have given him 5 written notices over the past few months telling him he needs to leave.
Now...
Yes, absolutely.
Now
after
your
the
parents,
first one, after
right.
the first letter,
right.
you give them 48 hours or a week or whatever it is, and then you change the locks.
But if you're the kid and you get a legal notice from your parents trying to ask you to leave, don't you leave?
Yeah.
Even if you're a dick, don't you leave?
Yes.
This is insanity.
You
they give him 5 different letters, one of them offering him $1,100 to help him relocate.
Oh, jeez.
And he said, what? No thanks, I got a place.
And they cook for me and they clean for me and it's great. Why do you guys suppose, he clearly does not get along at all with his parents. Why do you suppose he wants to live under the same roof as them?
He's lazy and doesn't want to spend money on his own place.
Yeah, and I assume they don't have dinner together.
Mm-hmm.
I assume he stays in his...
Yeah, they said he contributes nothing to the household. No chores, no nothing, so...
He just wants to save money.
Yeah. Okay.
They even claim they've offered to help him get started on his own. Rotundo is calling his parents' effort retaliatory.
I feel bad for both of them because he's not learning anything by staying at home, and he's just wasting their time and money.
Neighbors say they're sad to see such a great family go through this, but admit every parent has a limit.
I'm just going to suggest that this is not a family that you're sad to see go through this, honestly.
Really?
I think they
obviously brought it all on themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
And they got the dillweed son in their house.
Yes, a dillweed son.
No one loves him. That family's a nightmare.
But I would expect them to be gone by 30.
The Rotundos are scheduled to hash it out again in court later this month, about 7 weeks before their son's 31st birthday. Reporting in Camillus, I'm Justin Page.
All right, so that was about 7 weeks ago because now they've gone to court.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the update.
Tonight, a bizarre case of parents versus son. Mark and Christina Rotundo telling a judge through an attorney.
Seriously, dude.
I mean, come on. Here's the other thing. You threaten to sue. You threaten to go to court. But most people, I think, end up settling in some way to short of court.
Right.
Yes. Absolutely. That would be, for most people, that would be enough to realize your parents are serious about this, and it's really, really, really time to go before it gets ugly.
They're in court!
Yeah.
They're literally sitting in front of a judge.
Yep.
That their 30-year-old son must move out of their home.
They have no obligation to provide support. He's well over the age of 21.
in a lawsuit. They say they have sent him five letters in the past 2 months, like this one: you must leave this house immediately, telling him you have to work, even giving him more than $1,000 to find a new place.
There is no reason for these people to have him in their home.
Michael says he's planning to leave in a few months.
Oh, yeah, I'll leave, but I'll leave when I'm ready.
Right.
In a few months, not now, like when you guys want. Now the court.
I'm not a burden to them in the home. They don't provide laundry or food.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's the kid. I mean, I would like to suggest if they've sent you five letters asking you to leave and they're taking you to court and you're in court, you are a burden to them.
Right. And you're... I can understand why they're not fluffing and folding for you, kid. Are you kidding me with him?
I'm not a burden to them in the home. They don't provide laundry or food. It's really a moot point for them to seek me to be ejected.
The judge, in the end, siding with the parents.
All right, now I'm going to play a little bit of audio that you're not going to be able to understand at all because it's the judge and it's from a great distance, maybe even out in the hallway. You can't tell where they're recording it from. But then afterwards, they guess what he said. Sounded like he said you need to vacate today.
Well, the man was clearly missing some cues. So at least he's now. Yeah, I think so. At least he's now hearing from somebody that he has to listen to.
It sounded kind of like that, too, but that's just so ridiculous.
And David, tonight, Michael says he has his own web business and plans to appeal. But it did not go unnoticed that when he left the courthouse today.
When he left the courthouse today?
Oh, if he left with his parents, I swear to God, I'm going to burn this house down.
All right, he didn't leave with his parents necessarily, but where did he go?
He went home.
Back home.
He went right back to his parents' house.
David, let's see on that last you. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
Allie, he's single.
I hate him. I hate his parents that put up with that crap. I need a crying room. That's what I need.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock.
Let's play some Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Yes. I don't know if I've brought it up before, but what does penis slapping have to do with anything that we're doing on Bean Makes
I don't know, but guess? I love it, and I insist we keep using it.
All right, caveat here before we play the game. I've got a list in front of me, and I'm going to ask the participants in the room to name as many of them as they can in the top 10, and we'll see who gets the most. The caveat is that, Kevin, if you don't win this game...
Come on, don't put that kind of pressure on me.
...then I don't know anything about you, because I would put my paycheck and my mortgage on you winning this game. That's how confident I am that this is your category. I think Muggs are going to be fine with it. Allie, you are always a good player, but I think this is going to be Kevin's game, so let's see. The category today for B Makes This Guess is the best ice cream toppings.
Yay!
The best ice cream toppings. So just imagine you got some ice cream and there's just a full service bar of anything you can imagine. By the way, there are 100 items on this list for ice cream toppings.
What?
I've only got the top 25 here in front of me, but there are a lot of things you could put on your ice cream. What are, this isn't most popular, this is best. Okay?
All right.
So, Kevin, you sit at the head of the table for B-Mix's guest. You get to go first. What? All right, our listeners didn't get to hear that.
Man.
Oh,
our
dear.
Listeners missed that because we have something called a 7-second delay.
Come on, though.
That may be how you enjoy ice cream.
What about your Lord and Savior?
I used to work at Cold Stone Creamery. I don't think we had that topping there.
Oh, you had it. You had it.
I'm sorry. I'll give you a real guess.
Oh, now you want to guess again. Okay.
Hot fudge. Holy moly.
Hot fudge.
Yeah, it better be on there.
Well, I mean,
chocolate. Is there a difference in how is hot fudge not a topping? Thank you.
I'm gonna tell you that fudge is on the list at number 24.
Fudge is not a no. They're talking about chunks of fudge. I would assume.
Yes, but you're talking about melted.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to give you number 2 chocolate syrup. Then how about
no,
this?
You
same,
are
same
not.
Same thing.
Totally different.
Same thing.
Really?
completely different.
If it gets me a point, it's the same.
Wow. You know, I think you're right, Allie. Now that I think about it.
No, it's not the same.
So hot fudge is not among the top 25.
Stupid. That's insane. This list sucks.
Stupid.
No, I'm telling you guys, it's a really good list.
Okay. All right, so I said hot fudge, so none, I guess, for me. Go ahead.
Okay,
so
no, I gave you one.
Continue.
All right. Beer Bug, I believe you're up next.
Rainbow mother effing sprinkles.
Rainbows, you guys are going to love this, but no.
What?
No rainbow sprinkles.
Okay, then Jimmy's.
Jimmy's.
The chocolate sprinkles.
Yes, that is number nine. Chocolate sprinkles is number nine on the list. Well done, Allie McKay.
Thank you.
Did I get credit for hot fudge?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was getting his chocolate sauce. I was just going to go the other one that he already said. I'm going to say nuts.
Nuts. Just generic nuts?
These.
Number 15 is peanuts.
D's.
Kevin was pointing.
Not so much D's as they are D's.
Number 15 is nuts. I'm sorry, not inside the top 10. All right, Mugs, we're talking about the best ice cream toppings.
Gotta go. Caramel, baby.
Caramel.
Caramel, baby.
Caramel, baby. Now you're talking about like caramel syrup, I guess, is what you're talking about. Yes, that is number three on the list.
What?
Caramel syrup is number three, just behind chocolate syrup. I'm stunned. Stunned that nobody has come up with number one yet. Honestly, I thought all three of you would yell it at the same time when we started. Allie, you're up.
Whipped cream.
Number one, ladies and gentlemen. Yay! Yes, whipped cream on ice cream is considered the best of all ice cream toppings.
With hot fudge, though. You just put it on by itself all willy-nilly.
I'm boycotting this list.
Right? Then you drizzle D's nuts on top, right?
I mean, it does say, I mean, we did give him chocolate syrup, which I think is what hot fudge, I mean, I think that's the equivalent, I think, is what
it
they
is
call
not.
It. All right, Kevin, I think we can go around one more time, maybe?
I'm going to say banana.
Yeah, a banana is a great guess, but it's number 14. Number 14 on the list. Mugsy.
Maraschino cherries.
Number six.
All right. Mm.
Well done. I like a good cherry on top of my ice cream, man.
Does that include all fruit, then?
Trying to get some hints.
That is the only fruit in the top 10.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. chocolate chips.
Yes, chocolate chips are number eight on the list. Well done. You get a point as well. Hey, what is the score? Anyone keeping track?
I've got three. Mugs has two. Kevin has a questionable one.
Wow.
Shall
we end it there with a winner? Or do you guys feel like you have one more in you?
I got one more in me.
All right. Kevin?
Kevin?
I know, I'm thinking.
All right. And you're chewing.
Chewing my gum.
I can hear that.
Ice cream toppings is the topic.
How does Kevin not know?
This is crazy.
I swear to God.
This is your area.
I mean, you would think it's my specialty.
Okay, let's just call it right there.
How about some goddamn butterscotch?
Yeah.
Allie,
butterscotch. What are you, communist?
You are the winner, by the way. Butterscotch is number 17. 17 on the list. Butterscotch syrup. Here's your top. I'll give you the top 20, all right? Top 20. Waffle cone pieces.
Dumb.
Twix.
Yes.
Reese's peanut butter cups.
Of course.
Butterscotch syrup.
Sure.
Cookies. You know, you break up a cookie and an ice cream. Eh. Then we did peanuts.
Is that a topping, though?
Wait, did you just say butterscotch syrup?
Yes.
So F you, it was in the top 10.
No, he's in like 17.
17.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wow. But I still won? Okay.
You still won, yes. 15 peanuts, I think someone had banana at 14. Cookie dough was number 13. Strawberries at number 12. Peanut butter cup at 11. Mm-hmm. Number 10 is a great, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't get the love it deserves, and that's the magic shell.
Oh, that's the chocolate that hardens?
Yeah. The magic shell.
Yeah, not that great.
Number nine, chocolate sprinkles. Number eight, chocolate chips. Number seven, M&M's, you guys. Have you heard
M&M's.
Of
M&M's?
Sure.
Number six, Mugsy, your maraschino cherries. Number five, another phenomenal topping, Oreo cookies.
Doesn't that fall in the cookie category?
Yes.
Well, they have it separate. I'm sorry.
This list blows.
Number four, brownie bits.
What?
Then caramel syrup, chocolate syrup, and number one was whipped cream. This has been Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean makes us guess, yeah. It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock.
Do you guys remember the big movie push that Netflix did for the movie Bright?
Yes.
With Will Ferrell. Will Smith?
Yes.
Yes.
It was a huge deal because people were like, wait, this is a Netflix movie that's out in theaters. People were a little confused by it. Well, they're up to it again. But this time, Ryan Reynolds.
Oh.
He's going to star in a movie called Six Underground. It's a Michael Bay action movie. It revolves around six billionaires who fake their own deaths and form an elite team to take down the bad guys. Ryan Reynolds, Michael Bay. You in?
Yeah.
Can I
get... I was in at Ryan Reynolds.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Can I get you even more in? Like, sure. Even though you're... What?
Sure.
You're totally in, but just a little more in. Ryan Reynolds will be reunited with his Deadpool and Deadpool 2 writers, Paul Wernick and Rhett Reese. They wrote the script.
Dude.
Okay.
All right, fine.
Come on.
Those two are the best.
Do you think Netflix is like, seriously, we are ruling the world right now?
I would think
they
so,
should
yeah.
Be.
Yeah.
So in the movie, they fake their own deaths.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Like Muggs did. Remember?
No, he said he would
Muggs,
never do that.
Muggs, I hate to
that.
Say this, but it may be time to fake your own death.
I don't want
to
kill myself. I love life right. Too much.
Fake well, your own
death. Oh, holy crap.
Do we have to explain fake your own death? The first word is fake.
Forgot about that.
God bless
love
him.
Life.
He loves life too much to fake his own death.
Right?
He doesn't even want to fake it.
No. Oh, he is such a treasure.
He really
you guys.
Is.
So, yeah, Ryan Reynolds, Michael Bay, Paul Wernick,
and,
Rhett Reese.
And
Netflix.
And.
Come on. It's.
Sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Sure. Good stuff.
Sure.
The folks over at Amazon Prime have picked up a new docuseries about the economy. It's produced by Will Ferrell, Adam McKay, NPR business journalist Adam Davidson, and hosted by Cal Penn. Here's the thing. The series is going to take viewers around the world to meet the geniuses, the madmen, and the hucksters who make the decisions and investments that change our lives and how money, greed, and power affect our hyper-connected world.
I haven't heard the word huckster in a long time.
Yeah, that could be really interesting.
So boring.
You think, though? I know it's about the economy, but these are things that we are going to use every single day.
Oh, that sounds so boring.
Really? All right.
Nope.
Okay. I was thinking it could be okay. All right.
You still can.
You're boring.
Okay. Well, that's personal, so that's weird. Can I interest you in Charlize Theron?
Sure. Very much so.
All right. She's reportedly starring as Megyn Kelly in a new movie about the women who worked at Fox News under its disgraced former chairman, Roger Ailes. So it's all about the women that kind of rose up and took down that dude.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good man.
No.
The film is being made by Jay Roach. You might recognize him. He did Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery, Meet the Parents, a bunch of other movies. And they're casting actors to play Greta Van Susteren, Bill O'Reilly, and Rupert Murdoch as well. I don't know.
You don't know if we're ready to see a Me Too movie?
Yeah, I just...
It does seem like there's so much negativity in that world.
Yeah.
That it hasn't had time to die down yet for us to be interested in watching more of it.
Because it's not dying down. It's getting bigger and
getting
bigger.
Yeah,
so
true.
I don't know.
Hey, fun fact about director Jay Roach.
Sure.
Nope.
Married to Susanna Hoffs of the Bengals.
Really?
Yeah. Perfect.
That was Beans.
Fun fact.
Forever. Like, you know, 30 years or something.
I like it.
Yeah, me too.
Kevin?
Yeah. Sure.
Real hard to interest Kevin this morning.
I don't know what the hell's going on in the most wonderful way.
Well, thank you for bringing us to birthdays, Melissa McBride. It is your birthday. Carol on The Walking Dead, singer Jewel, Drew Carey, actor, Price is Right host. I've been saying H. John Benjamin, the voice of Archer,
mm-hmm.
producer Christine.
All morning.
Well, yeah, it's correct, but she's like, in addition to Archer, he's also the voice of Bob on Bob's Burger, the two greatest shows ever. She watches those two religiously, like more so than shows with actual humans.
Did she say the greatest two shows ever?
She has actually said that in here with us. Archer and Bob's Burgers are producer Christine's two favorites. And another cartoon. I'm not sure what that
I'm
one was.
I'm just going to say that's not possible.
No, she has said it.
I know she said
believes
it.
Believes it. It's true.
Okay.
She will cut you.
That she will.
I'm just saying. And happy birthday to Ryan Coogler, director. Just some movies like Fruitvale Station, Creed, Black Panther.
No bigs. That's all.
No bigs. And that's what's happening.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
That was weird because Allie just negotiated a birthday gift from Bean.
She did.
While you were listening to 21 Pilots.
A lot of weird stuff going on here behind the scenes.
Here's a tweet from a tweeter named Swamp Dragon from May 19th.
All right.
Did effing Kenny G just play EDC? Yes, that's what happened.
Yes,
Kenny,
he did.
Kenny G, who I gotta imagine, by the way, that there are a lot of people listening to us, younger people, have no idea who Kenny G was.
Play that ridiculous song that he's so famous for.
Well, this is the part that people know if they know anything. This is one of a number of hit singles, but he had even more hit albums. He sold over 75 million albums worldwide.
Oh,
and all of the songs sound exactly like this one. They are indistinguishable from one another.
Yeah.
When was his heyday? I guess it would have been 90s, right? It would have been
maybe,
90s
maybe.
Artist?
Yeah, 80s, yeah. 90s, sure. 80s, 90s.
Yeah, so enormously popular, and he still is in this, you know, the smooth jazz world, but he's not something that you would ever expect to see at a rock festival or at an EDC festival. So how did it happen that he was even there, Kevin? Was he friends with one of the acts on the bill?
Well, Dave, the King of Mexico, was there with me. Who is he coming out on stage with?
Yeah, he played with an artist named OK, and he has a song called Thief that has a big sax part in it. So he brought out Kenny G, and he performed
and
that sax drop.
And people went crazy.
They did.
Oh, wait, not really.
They did, except they don't know why. Because, you know, this guy comes out playing a saxophone in that big drop, and people are digging it because it's live.
And they're all eat up.
Yeah. And they had no clue who he was.
Right. Oh, I believe that. I totally believe that.
Yeah, but
do we have to listen to the music for this whole thing?
Yeah, we do. So you guys are there and you're egging out too. And then
You're egging out. Oh, I think
so.
Egan.
At some point, you guys spot Kenny G in the crowd, right?
Yeah. Yes. We find him sort of in a backstage area. And we walk past him and we go, oh, that was Kenny G. That was our excitement level. And then walked past by and we saw him again and we were like, Kenny G, still here.
Yep, still Kenny G.
How about that? That's Kenny G.
And then we finally find him in the most Kenny G place at EDC, ordering kombucha. So I say, Kevin, we need to get a photo with Kenny G. We're just keep running into him.
And this
him.
Is like a third or fourth time we saw him. And I was like, all right. That's all we thought at the time. Right.
Hold on, here's my favorite part.
It's the same as all the other parts.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay. All right, so you go over, and is he cool about it?
Yeah, I mean, what is he going to say? No, get away from me.
I mean, yeah, he's cool about it, but he doesn't seem like he's in a great mood.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know what his normal mood is. I haven't hung out with Kenny G.
Right.
He didn't seem like he was thrilled to be
there. Well, he's smiling in the photo.
Sort of.
Here's what I want to say. What I said Monday when we discovered this when we got back on the air after the weekend, I would have freaked out at the opportunity to grab a selfie with Kenny G.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing.
That's not amazing.
I just thought it was funny.
That's same.
Yeah, I just thought it would be funny.
I'm sorry, Bean, but both of us thought it would be funny. That's the reason we did it.
And I don't mean just because I'm a huge fan or anything like that, or he's a hero or a superstar or anything like that. I guess...
Turn off the goddamn music.
I guess it's for the same reason you do, which is that it's just so random and so weird.
It was random and weird.
Listen, Bean, Dua Lipa was at EDC. I would have been excited to take a picture with
Agreed.
Her.
Agreed.
Yeah, oh, sure.
Yeah.
100 times
I just thought
more.
It was like, this would be funny.
Yeah, all right, Kenny G, why not? I almost didn't even post it. I was just like, should I post it? Yeah, I guess, why not?
By the way, please seek out this photograph on all the Kevin and Bean social media because Dave looks great. He's smiling and buzzed. Kenny G is being Kenny G, but what's going on with Kevin? What's going on with Glitter Boy?
I mean, look, I had went in Rome, right?
Right.
I had glitter. That's how I roll it, EDC.
Have you, Allie, or you, Dave, ever gotten a Kenny G equivalent selfie with somebody that you never anticipated you would meet, and you treasure the photo just because it's so wacky?
Oh,
Allie, you must have had a million people on the TV show, right?
Yeah, none that are too weird. Like, I think this is a comedy thing. Like,
it is.
Kenny G, total comedy
thing. It's a comedy thing.
Yeah.
Also, because we were at EDC,
right,
which is an EDM festival, and he doesn't fit that world at all.
Right.
So all of that was working into it.
I do have...
Plus glitter.
I do have a picture that I treasure. I said one day on the air that the only person I ever wrote a big fan letter to when I was in elementary school was Ricky Schroeder, and he never wrote back.
Mm.
And I just joked about how it devastated me for the rest of my life. One of his publicists from Hallmark Channel, he had some movie coming out, was watching and was like, I'm going to arrange him to come to one of her live shots. Well, he certainly did. Unfortunately, I was dressed in a sumo wrestler costume.
Like you did in those days,
sure. So it's
sure.
me with what I thought was always the love of my life, Ricky Schroeder, with a sumo wrestler outfit, and I'm trying to cover up the nipples on the costume. It's just, that's probably one of my all-time favorite pictures.
Yes, but let's be careful here, because we don't want people to call who met the equivalent of what Ricky Schroeder was to you. People you were really excited.
So
like
that
Kevin...
wasn't helpful.
Right. Well,
okay.
I mean, it wasn't on topic.
It wasn't right on topic. Like, we're not looking for, if Kevin gets his picture taken with Kobe, that's mm-hmm. a moment. That's
right.
That's a life changer, right?
Stay on target. Stay on target.
Sorry. Apologies.
We're looking for the opposite of that.
Right.
We're looking for, you were in Jack in the Box and William Hung was there and you went over and got a selfie with him.
Yes.
That's what we're looking
for.
Got it. Okay.
So 1-800-520-1067, a random celebrity that you got a selfie with. We want to hear about it. Dave, before we go, you have one?
Listen, I just got back from EDC, so my brain is booting up again. But no.
So he has no idea.
Yeah.
He's got Kenny G.
I got Kenny G.
Let's go to Chris in Irvine. He's got one that I think is right in pocket. Hello, Chris.
Oh, mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. And ironically, I did see William Hung at Carl Strauss a couple weeks ago.
Is that right?
He was working there, though, right?
Yeah, basically. I was a few years ago, I was at the Irvine Spectrum picking up a White Elephant Christmas gift, and none other than Michael Bolton was there signing autographs.
Oh, there you go.
That's pretty strong.
There you go.
Strong.
That was the win for the night.
Well, I love it.
Treasure it always. Thank you for the call, sir. 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-Rock. K-Rock.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Let's take one call. Let's make it Brandon. Good morning, Brandon. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Morning, guys. I just want to say thank you guys for those Deadpool tickets a couple weeks ago. That was an epic movie.
Awesome.
Oh, good. Nice. Good. Glad you enjoyed it. We're talking about random celebrities. You're not even a fan of them, but you couldn't resist taking a photo and you got a great selfie and a story to tell. Who's yours?
Okay. So believe it or not, it's Bridget the Midget.
All right.
Kevin's girlfriend.
All right. I'm not sure she's my girlfriend.
It was fantastic. So I work for a tow company in Hollywood. I don't want to say the name, but So she had got her car impounded, and she came in, and naturally she's pretty upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just, you know, dealing with it and just paying for it and getting out of there, she decided to throw a fit. So,
is it because she has a short temper?
Boom!
For the
that was
love.
A good one. I like that.
Not really, like but that. Go ahead.
So she, we have these fences that are right by the office window where you pay to separate the tow yard from the office.
How tall is the
and
fence?
She decides,
I think Kevin is suggesting you're giving us too much detail on the story. Why did you get your photo taken with porn star Bridget the
How
Digit?
Did you turn her, by the way, from being outraged to getting a picture?
Well, I ended up just kind of taking the picture, but she was hanging on the fence like she was an orangutan in a zoo. And she was going side to side and screaming, and I couldn't resist. And I took the picture, and of course it was gold throughout the entire tow company because no one thought to do it. But that's my picture with me in the back, you know, with Bridget the Bridget in the background hanging on a fence.
And what if you were to send us that photo?
Oh.
Right?
I'm in uniform. That could be a lawsuit for me.
Mm. We'll blur it out. Don't worry about that.
You can see the picture of Kevin and Dave, the King of Mexico, and the great Kenny G from EDC Las Vegas this past weekend at the Kevin and Bean Instagram account. It's at Kevin and Bean. It's well worth checking out. And we're talking about, you got a picture taken, a selfie with a random celebrity. Listen to this, you guys. I love this. Pedro from Compton sent us a photo. We got to post this, too. He and the celebrity look so happy to be taking a picture together at Shake Shack. He ran into TV's Urkel, Jaleel White.
Oh, wow. That's strong.
Luck out.
But if you're somebody like Jaleel, who, by the way, is apparently just a great guy,
mm-hmm.
you can't go anywhere without people wanting to get that selfie, right?
Yeah,
everybody
I
would want
so.
To get a picture taken with Urkel, I would imagine. So that's very cool. All right, so we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Where do you want to go?
Let's start with Russ in Monrovia. Hi, Russ.
His name's Rudy.
Hi, Rudy.
Mm-hmm.
Can you put Russ on the phone, please?
Hi, Russ. Rudy.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good. Good morning.
Yeah, so the random person that I met was Bill Nye at the Pasadena DMV.
Hack.
At the DMV? Wow.
Yeah.
Why hack, Allie?
Yeah, I was there to get my license renewed, and I look to the left, and I see an Asian woman, like, spazzing out over, like, an elderly man. And at first, I'm like, who is that? And I see, and it's him. Everybody knows Bill Nye.
Sure, sure.
Over an elderly man.
and I look, and it's one thing, like, my hands start shaking, and I'm like, at first, I accepted. I was like, don't go up there. Don't be rude. He's at the DMV. Like, I don't want to be that guy. Like,
listen, if he's at the DMV, he's got nothing but time.
Yeah. And then I was like, no, you have to get photographic evidence. If you don't have a picture, it didn't happen.
Correct. That's true. That is very true.
And so I walk up to him, and I'm like, I'm all shaking, like, I'm hello, sir. And he's like, oh, and he already knew the routine. He's like, you want to take a picture? And I was like, yeah. I pull out my phone, and I'm like, say cheese. And he's like, raise your chin and look at the lens. And I kind of froze, and I was like, is he giving me advice? Oh my god, I'm getting taught by Bill Nye.
That's so awesome.
Yeah,
thank you for calling.
Keep your advice to yourself, old man.
Allie, you got a selfie with Bill Nye like about a week ago.
I did,
as a matter of fact. It was a thrill for you as well.
Very exciting.
All right, we got to go to line 2, Tara in Corona.
This is huge
for a certain segment of the audience who grew up with this man in this movie. 1-800-520-1067. Tara, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, hooty hoo, happy people.
Hooty hoo to you as well.
I was in IKEA in Orange County years ago, and, you know, they have those mock bedrooms and rooms.
Right.
But there was a guy jumping on the bed with a and it was. They don't all look alike, by the way.
That goes without saying. So for folks who didn't hear, Long Duck Dong, who was a character, very popular character in 16 Candles, the John Hughes movie. Yeah. So was he working there?
No, he was just there. It looked like he was on some happy pills.
I would say so, because jumping on a bed in a store does not seem ideal. Okay.
It was funny. Everybody knew who he was as soon as he jumped down and throwing the little, you know, automobile. Yeah, all of it. It was
all
hilarious.
Right. That's a moment you'll never forget. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. All right, we only have time for one more, Kevin, but we got some great calls here. Do you want to talk to line 7 yep. or line 8? Which one
what
do you
are you talking about? I want 6.
Let's do 6. All right. Sorry, Steven Seagal and David Hasselhoff. We're not going to hear those stories. Let's find out who we're going to hear instead.
Those are much bigger stars. Let's go to Ryan. Hi, Ryan.
Why? So special. I was number 6.
Yes, you are. Number 6. Tell us who you got a selfie with.
Yeah, I got a selfie with Scott Disick. I was in London. My in-laws wanted to go get high tea at, I think it's called Claridge's. And so we're waiting for our table, and in walks Scott Disick with his posse and all his Louis Vuitton bags. And
Scott Disick has a posse?
Yeah, he had a posse with him. I did not recognize any of these people. And my in-laws had no idea who Scott Disick is. I'm like, you guys know who that is, right? No one cares. And I'm like, all right, I got to get a selfie with this guy. And so some discrepancy with his luggage is going on. And I'm like waiting for my moment because I'm like, my friends are going to freak. And so finally, he takes a side and he's waiting. He looks so pissed, but I go up to him shaking and I'm just like, can I get a selfie? And he looks so pissed off in the picture. Like, do not take this picture.
So he took the picture, but was miserable.
He looked miserable. And I don't know if Kourtney Kardashian knew he was there at the time, but maybe that's the reason he didn't want to be seen.
Good point. Being seen with you could have caused an international incident. Exactly. All right. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Thank you.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
We should discuss this stuff before we get on. Before we get on the air.
Hey, can Chip Homber something for like 20 seconds just so we can discuss this? Because I think this is a key copy point, don't you?
You think people won't hear us if Chip is humming?
I'm just glad if she's humming. I'm just
going
to go on tour.
I don't believe.
We're talking about...
I say we don't. What were you talking about before? I say we don't tell them.
Oh, I think we have to, don't
really?
We?
Really?
No, but we're Allie, playing. Allie, what do you think? Well, don't tell them or do...
I say you say the movie...
Okay.
And they tell you the voice actor that plays that part.
But they don't need to know the character.
Dave says no. You don't even tell them the movie?
No way, dude. These are huge movies.
Okay.
Okay. Wow. Dave's a dick. That's
a hard, All right.
Four-pack of Disneyland Resort tickets. I apologize. A professional show would have handled that during the song.
In our defense, we tried in the last 4 seconds of that song fading.
We did. We're talking about Pixar-themed fireworks, the Pixar Play Parade with many of your favorite characters, the Paint the Night Parade, and so much more fun for the whole family. We're giving away tickets right now with a game that we call, for some reason, Who's That Pixar Person?
Who's that Pixar person? Sounds familiar. We're gonna play a clip from a Pixar film. If you guess correct, you might go to Pixar Fest. Who's that Pixar person? Tell me who's that Pixar person? Yeah!
All right, so Pixar not only has some of the greatest movies ever made, they get the top voice talent, some of the most talented people in the world to voice their animated characters. We're going to be playing clips from very popular Pixar movies. All you have to do is identify who that famous voice is doing a character in the film. Everybody ready to go?
Sure.
Who's first?
George in Simi Valley. Hi, George.
Hi, how you guys doing today?
We are doing well. How about you?
I don't know. We'll find out, huh?
Yes, we will.
All right, now if Dave were nice, he would let us tell you what movie this is from, but we can't. So listen closely and identify this famous voice from a Pixar movie.
Oh, Gusteau was right. Oh, yeah. Oh, amazing. Each flavor was totally unique, but combine one flavor with another and something new was created.
What do you think there, George?
No idea.
That's the easiest one we got, buddy.
Well, I hope somebody's smarter than me, then.
That is the great Patton Oswalt. He, of course, was Remy in Ratatouille. Remember, he was a little rat.
Okay, well.
All right. What are you going to rub it in? Take it easy.
Keep yelling at him.
Yeah, what are you yelling at him? The guy didn't get it.
George, everybody knows that. What's wrong with you?
How many times have you seen Ratatouille?
I mean, technically not, but look.
Okay.
Even I recognize Patton Oswalt.
Any of these movies. How many times?
Who's our next contestant, Kevin?
Is it Rova in West Hills?
Roya, I think, right?
Is it Roya?
Yes.
Okay. All right, listen up. What famous Pixar person is this?
Morning, sleeping beauty.
Boy, I was wondering when you was going to wake up. Here, buddy. I like you already. My name's Mater.
Mater?
Yeah, like tomater, but without the tuh.
Yeah. I don't need to see that movie. All right, what do you think there, Roya?
I think it's good. The guy.
Yes, guy's in the name. Yes, good so far.
Okay, let me think. The guy that's always like in those like redneck movies.
Yes, that's him. Yes, you're right, but he's got a name. And his name is?
He wears like that like baseball hat. And
don't need the clothing, right? If he had a name, someone would call him.
Let me think. I don't know. Man.
It's Larry the Cable Guy.
Larry. Oh, man, yeah. I knew it was that
you
dude.
Didn't know. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. All right. Well, we're 0 for 2.
All right. Let's try again.
Hello. Who's this?
This is Gila.
Gila.
She just said Gila. What did you think you heard?
What I said. What I repeated is what I heard.
Now, Gila, you were listening to your previous competitors. Did you get Patton Oswalt or Larry the Cable Guy while you were on hold?
I got them both.
Oh, good.
Oh, now it's on.
Okay. All right. Well, I feel good about you, and I feel good about listening up for this Pixar person.
I'd call it the Happy Core Memory Development Program. Hey, our life was perfect until Mom and Dad decided to move to San Francisco. Need I remind you of how great things were there? Our room, our backyard, our friends.
All right, who's that?
I want to say it's Inside Out.
You are correct, yes.
Okay, and I want to say it's Bill Hader.
No!
Sorry.
Would it help if I said I was in a movie called Unaccompanied Minors with him?
Nope.
Didn't
I don't
think so.
That helps anybody. He was playing the voice of anger in Inside Out, and it's our friend comedian Lewis Black.
Sorry.
Sorry. Hey, guys.
How's this going?
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Sudden death, you guys.
Sudden death.
All right, no drawing.
First person that gets it wins. All right, let's go to John in Valencia. Hi, John. Hello, John.
He's gone.
He tapped out. All right. Let's go to Anthony in La Mirada. Hi.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Anthony, what do you think? You've been listening to the game? It's not going well.
I got Lewis Black.
You did. All right. Well, this one's, I think, a little tougher, but let's see if you know. It's a great movie, great actor. Listen up for your Pixar person.
You miss your dad, don't you, Chef Bait?
Yeah.
You're lucky to have someone out there who's looking for you.
He's not looking for me.
My first escape landed on dental tools. I was aiming for the toilet.
Toilet?
All drains lead to the ocean, kid.
Oh, I know that guy.
Okay, good.
Okay,
good start.
I will tell you this. You do know him. And his name is?
Man. Oh, his name is... It's not Tim Allen, is it?
You're correct. It's not Tim Allen. It is Willem Dafoe. Willem Dafoe playing Gil in Finding Nemo, but thank you for playing anyway.
They'll get the next one.
You think?
100%.
All right. Carola? Carola?
Yes. Hello.
Hi. All right. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Please get this one because we'd like to have a winner. There we go.
Ha! You're alive! This is great! Oh! I'm saved! And he'll find you here. He'll take us back to the room, and then you can tell everyone that this was all just a big mistake. Huh? Right, buddy?
All right, that one you got to get.
Oh, my goodness.
Right?
Oh, wow.
All right, I don't want to put any pressure on you, but maybe the most famous character in the entire Pixar universe. Am I right about that, guys?
Maybe, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Oh, my God.
One of the most famous people in the world doing the voice.
Can you give it to me again?
Nope.
It's Mother effing Tom Hanks. It's Tom Hanks.
Woody from Toy Story.
They're going to get the next one.
The next one they're going to get.
Woody from Toy Story.
Stop yelling. You already didn't win. What do you want?
Do you just skip ahead to number 7? Because there's no way they don't get number 7.
No, we do this.
Okay.
I think we do that. I think Alex gets it.
Okay.
Alex is going to save the game. Hey, Alex.
Okay.
Hi, guys. Hopefully I'll get it.
I hope so, too. This is sudden death for a four-pack of Disneyland Resort tickets for the Pixar Fest. Listen up. Name this Pixar person.
Honey, where's my super suit? Where is my super suit? The public is in danger. You tell me where my suit is, woman. We are talking about the greater good.
Don't make me yell at you.
Oh my god, I was just talking to my husband, Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
USA! USA! USA!
Oh, thank god. Thanks for playing the game.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
All right. What are we doing?
I don't know.
Oh, what's happening?
Guys, statement from the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell. He does a whole statement, blah, blah, blah. But there's now a new policy.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
New policy for kneeling during the game. Yep. New policy for kneeling during... Okay.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
New policy for kneeling during the national anthem.
Okay.
There are six parts to it. Number
six
one.
Six parts?
All team and league personnel on the field shall stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem. Number two. The game operations manual will be revised to remove the requirement that all players be on the field for the anthem. In other words, you can stay in the locker room.
Oh.
Number three, personnel who choose not to stand for the anthem may stay in the locker room or in a similar location off the field until after the anthem has been performed. Number four, a club will be fined by the league if its personnel are on the field and do not stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem. Five, each club may develop its own work rules consistent with the above principles regarding its personnel who do not stand and show respect for the flag.
You
and
guys
the
can make up your own rules as long as they're ours exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Number six, the commissioner will impose appropriate discipline on league personnel who do not stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem. I would want that number six. I would want that defined a
maybe
little
spelled
better.
Out a
yeah,
bit.
Yeah. I want to know what the impose appropriate discipline is. What
yeah, because that could mean anything.
Yeah, could mean a fine, could mean you're out for a game, could mean anything.
And this is, to be clear, Allie, and I hate to be a conspiracy bean here, but this is just as a result of the pushback on the ratings and everything else. They don't really care about the issue at all, right? They don't care about the players and what they're actually protesting, which isn't the anthem. They don't care about any of that.
Right. Plus, they get paid for their patriotism. The NFL takes money from the military to do the different things, the flag unveiling, the we're doing Marine Night, we're honoring America's military. The NFL is paid actual dollars for that.
Right.
Dollars. The NFL is not paying the military. They are being paid
by, right.
To show patriotism.
So they need to look as patriotic as possible to keep those dollars rolling in.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, what do you think will happen? Do you think a bunch of people will stay in the locker room? I mean, there really weren't in the percentage of players in the league, most weren't taking a knee.
Right. No. But if I was an owner of a team, I would say, you know what, guys? We're staying in the locker room. End of discussion.
Everyone.
It's not even going to be something we do anymore. We're not going out there. We'll run out after
we're
the
not even going to play.
We're not going to play.
Just go home.
Let's get back on the bus. Absolutely. To me, that's going to be the easiest thing for an owner to do is just say, let's not even make it an issue. That's going to save them a little bit.
It'll make it a huge issue.
Will be a huge issue if they go out and some do kneel and some don't.
But it'll be a huge issue if no one goes out as well.
I think it's less of an issue.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But doesn't it? But can't people then just paint the whole team as being unpatriotic because they're not out there for the national anthem?
Sure, and you'd be an idiot, but sure, you could feel free. Here's the thing, too. Who's to say players don't adopt another sign of protest? You're saying you can't kneel. What if I hold up both my hands? That's a sign of protest. Mm-hmm. What if I have a gun to my head with my little finger guns? What if I do, you know, a jazz hands?
Jazz hands? Why did you do
other,
that?
I'm just saying there are other ways. This is so, it's just, I can't. First of all,
I don't
NFL,
know what you said, but I agree.
Here's what would have been really great. How about you impose regulations for your players that beat the S out of their girlfriends and their wives? How about you do something like that?
That would hurt
like
the bottom
that?
Line, though. That would hurt the bottom line.
Okay. You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
It's just, come on. There are such bigger things for them that they should be handling, but instead this,
But each team gets to make up their own rules.
Right.
As long as they're the same as the NFL.
Number four. Yeah, it's just, that's stuff.
Yeah.
Right there.
Roger Goodell has not impressed a lot of people a lot of the time.
He hasn't.
He gets booed everywhere he goes.
But at least he's making a gazillion dollars a year, right?
Yeah.
Right.
There's that.
That's madness.
All right. Well, thanks for that that update. So that's settled.
It is settled.
Shouldn't hear about that again
too,
ever.
Don't you think the NFL Players Union gets involved and they're like, hey, hold on a minute. And then what? You're kicked out of your parents' house. You're 30. You got five letters. Wait, different story?
Different story.
Different story.
Okay. My bad. My bad. Let's move on to sad news for Muggs and Dave, because they had some really good times with this cast. The cast of L.A. to Vegas. That wonderful show on Fox where it was about a pilot who was kind of pervy and did weird things.
That was funny.
Dylan McDermott was great. It has been canceled by Fox.
Oh.
Dude, this is a new level for the Muggs. This is a mess.
Very upset.
He is taking it hard. Yeah. What, Dave? So that's upsetting. So sorry to bring you that.
Why are you bad, America?
I'm just saying. This was kind of shocking to hear. Jada Pinkett Smith revealed that she has alopecia. Oh. She does something called a Red Table Talk. It's her web series. And she has been wearing a lot of turbans, a lot of head wraps. And she finally said, listen, I have been losing my hair. And she said it was downright terrifying when the symptoms first began. But she's learned to cope. She's wearing the turbans, wearing the head wraps. I think it's someone like a Jada Pinkett Smith could really bring a lot of attention to.
You mean NoHo Jada?
See what you did there, because Anthony Carrigan, that plays NoHo Hank on Barry, has alopecia. I see what you
what
did.
What do you think about bald people? I hate them.
Again, could do a lot of good.
I think that's
and
the opposite.
Bring a lot of
awareness?
Thank you, Bean.
Why do you help her and not me?
Right.
Why does that happen?
You paint your bald spot?
Again.
You paint your bald spot?
No, I didn't mean again. Play it again, Sam. I meant.
I mean, you asked for it.
I did say again.
I mean, you did.
So. I did.
That's on you.
Good God. Some birthdays for you. Actress Melissa McBride. She's Carol on The Walking Dead, and we found out is Kevin's favorite character.
I don't know what the hell's going on in the most wonderful way.
I'm going to say the most badass character on that show is Carol.
Yeah, because she will tell you to look at flowers and then she will blow your head off.
If need be. She does whatever needs to happen.
It's a zombie apocalypse.
Right.
Singer Jewel, Drew Carey, actor H. John Benjamin, voice of Archer Bob on Bob's Burger, and Ryan Coogler, amazing director, Black Panther Creed, Fruitvale Station, and that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home today starting at 5 p.m. here on K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We've got Ashley Cole, the captain of the LA Galaxy. We've got Dr. Drew on the program like we do on Thursdays. We've got a brand-new internet roundup and your tickets for 9-inch nails.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, K-Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.